Airwick Essential Mist Diffuser transforms your space, creating your perfect ambiance with a wide range of inviting fragrances that make your guests go, oh. Airwick Essential Mist Diffuser's easy-to-change refills allow you to choose your perfect fragrance for any occasion, like lush honeysuckle and raspberry, and vibrant island coconut and warm sands. And if guests start shifting from the table to the couches, no worries. It's perfectly portable and cordless. Airwick Essential Mist Diffuser, always inviting.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, following the publication of the GRACE report earlier this month, many questions have been raised about the level of care that people in our system have been receiving and whether it is, in fact, fit for purpose. Tracy Carroll is with me now to discuss this further. And Tracy, I kind of feel a little silly asking this question because you and I have spoken so many times and you've appeared on this show so often. But just for people who don't know, because I think it's important to put the conversation we're about to have in context, can you tell us a little bit about your daughter, Willow?
Hospital bed. She's very ill at the moment. Willow has complex medical needs, so she's nonverbal, she's a wheelchair user, she's peg-fed, she's epilepsy, so quad cerebral palsy. So her needs are very intense, and she's nonverbal, so really she relies on her caregivers, which is myself and my husband and her brother Noah, to look after her and to be able to navigate everything that she needs in her life, medical care, her day-to-day care, and to be her voice.
And tell me then, in that context, given all of the needs she has and I guess the inability she has to verbalise, her own needs, what you thought when you read about, well, GRACE initially, the reporting around it, but also the contents of the GRACE report?
I'll be honest with you, Kieran, it took me a few days to actually read as I kind of went in and out because I just found it so distressing. We tend to remove the human from these reports and these investigations. And the biggest voice missing in this report was GRACE. There was extensive submissions made on behalf of GRACE and they were omitted from the report. And we have this embedded institutionalized mindset in our country. We may have removed, you know, the institutions that people with disabilities are placed in, but we haven't removed that mindset. And all this investigation did was leave us more questions than answers. And now we're looking for an investigation into an investigation. And GRACE could be Willow. And until you add that human value to it, I don't think people are really seeing the gravity of this situation and how we have a bias against people with disabilities. And we do not support them in our country. They are not valued. Their disability is seen and the person is never seen. And how, again, we are reading another story of such abuse of a vulnerable person in our society. And next week, it'll be forgotten about. It'll just be another page of the paper. Tom Clonan in the Shannon yesterday was addressing another issue that has happened over the last few years of a young girl in state care, sexually abused. And we are never, ever giving a voice to these people. We're doing reports. We're talking around the issue. We're not talking about what's really fundamentally the problem in our country. And it's a complete disregard and no value for a person with a disability. We do not see them as people who are equal in society. And it just, like, it floored me, to be honest with you. And it really took me a couple of days just to get in and kind of read it. And I just read it and went, I don't know who this report was for. What have we learned? Who has it protected? Nobody's going to be held accountable. And will we ever really see a shift in the mindset and an investment in society to support people with disabilities? That you know, a person with a disability has full autonomy over their own care needs, their own value in society, and that they have an advocacy service that is invested adequately to allow them have an equal place in society. I worry we'll never ever get to that point.
Because we spoke to the minister on the day of the publication of the report, and she was kind of at pains to say, listen, we are a long, long way in Ireland today from the Ireland of 1989, and there's much more robust procedures and practices in place, and the culture is different as well around, you know, children who find themselves in care, children who have additional needs, vulnerable children in society. I mean, Yeah, on the face of it, she's right in terms of, you know, there's certainly safeguards on paper that exist now that didn't exist in 1989. But I just wonder, what's your take or your assessment of what she had to say?
You and I know, Ciarán, we've had long and lengthy conversations around services and supports in children, and inclusion to me is a word with notions. We're constantly talking about it being an inclusive society and providing adequate support, equitable, you know, life for children, adequate school places. And yes, we are continuously gaslighting the people with disabilities. You know, we're hearing all of this narrative of the last few weeks. I'm sure you can hear Madam laughing beside me here. Mm-hmm. We're continuing, like, in the last few weeks, we've heard this narrative around, you know, how we've overdiagnosed people with ADHD and ASD. I'm neurodivergent myself, and at 46, I found out I was neurodivergent. And I've learned so much. And, you know, we need these diagnoses to allow us to support ourselves, because society doesn't support us. So we continuously gaslight people with disabilities. But we have never, and we are still continuously not investing adequately in services. So we're great as, you know, publications and the programme for government, like Smith's Catalogue, there's something in it for everybody. Yes, I have to see fundamental change in societies, and I have not seen it, and I haven't seen the real investment. And, you know, when the new programme for government was on, and the run-up for the election was all, we're going to invest in disabilities. This is centre and front of our, you know, our plans going forward in the term of government. That gives them a buyout. They've got 4 years, you know, we've got an economy, we have to put money into this, money into that. And disability services is always left to the last. And we saw it in COVID when, they, you know, everybody else was supported. The people with disabilities, the most vulnerable people in societies, were left with nothing. We didn't even get rubber gloves to our house with an incredibly vulnerable child. We lost everything. And it's continuously happening time and time again. We see the services completely overstretched. The staff are just exhausted from what's expected of them, because we have not invested adequately, and we are still not doing it in disability services.
So,
and I don't believe that we have ever safeguarded our children or adults who are vulnerable. We're not putting those safety nets in, and I'm living this every day.
What would a society that has those supports in place look like? I mean, is there one? You know, when you look around Europe or elsewhere, are there countries that get this, if not perfect, certainly better than us?
I've had many holidays now since Willow was born, so we can't really evolve on that. But there are people doing it better, and, you know, there's you know, practices in inclusive education that are really working. And we're not doing this, we're trying. But, you know, there's caps and everything. Absolutely. Like, I mean, the basic human rights. Where we live, I cannot use a bathroom anywhere locally. I have to change my daughter in the boot of the car. So the most basic human rights have been ignored. Our buildings are not accessible. Our schools are not accessible. You know, society's just not accessible. And then when you're really in need of support and services, you're on long waiting lists, and you're lucky to get an appointment. And that is basic. That is where we are at. We are nowhere near half of where we should be. And it's the same story for everybody with a disability. Mm. And, you know, even looking for a wheelchair, you know, Willow's due a new wheelchair. We have to go and get fitted for it. Then they have to send it off to the disability team. The disability team have to write a report to the HSE. That has to be approved for funding. It goes to somebody else's desk, and then it comes back, and you are waiting months. That is Willow's way of, you know, moving. They hurt her legs, and it's the most basic thing that she needs. So it's the same with absolutely everything. So, no, I don't believe we're anywhere near where we should be. And until we really are honest with ourselves and question the bias that is still held in society, and the reluctance to really make our country a place where everybody has equal rights and an equitable place, you know, we're going to just hear the same stories over and over again.
And since Willow was born, actually, Willow's life kind of maybe there's this massive upward trajectory in kind of state finances. You know, the economy is, I'm not suggesting it's kind of, it's easy or it's great for everybody out there, but, you know, as a whole, the economy has been booming for several years now. So has there been any evidence of that over Willow's life in terms of the provision of services? Has it improved from kind of day one to today? No, okay.
No, so we have a capitalist economy. We're all about the money. It is not a care economy. And, you know, I would like us to look forward to 2014 and 15 years, and it's not just about people with disabilities, our vulnerable children. Like, what are we handing them? We're so focused on the end figure that we're not supporting people in society. I mean, carers' allowance is being tested. We have to adapt our home. We're not eligible for any funding. So all these taxes that I've paid all my life and the taxes my husbands are paying certainly don't come back to you. So, you know, again, the most vulnerable people in society are not supported. And when a person is looking for a carer's allowance, when they are rejected that because of subjective means testing, and the cost of disability in the home is averaging an extra 244 a week, carer's allowance is 248. You know, where does that marry up? When you've come from two incomes to one, and then you're refused carer's allowance because one income is over the threshold. It's the person who has a disability, the vulnerable person, that's being failed because you don't have the finances to give them the support that you cannot get through the services. So it's a vicious circle, and it just continues. Every single door you knock on, you're sent to another one and you're asked to fill out a form. It's exhausting, and it's just a continuous battle, and it's just really difficult for some parents to navigate, you know, when they're trying to just look after the person that is most vulnerable in our society.
Tracy, thanks a million for joining us. Tracy Carroll, mum of Willow there, with her own assessment of the publication of the so-called Grace Report earlier this month.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
Airwick Essential Mist Diffuser transforms your space, creating your perfect ambiance with a wide range of inviting fragrances that make your guests go, oh. Airwick Essential Mist Diffuser's easy-to-change refills allow you to choose your perfect fragrance for any occasion, like lush honeysuckle and raspberry, and vibrant island coconut and warm sands. And if guests start shifting from the table to the couches, no worries. It's perfectly portable and cordless. Airwick Essential Mist Diffuser, always inviting.